Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Welcome to another Rahalastama book club. It's the most guests we've ever had in a book club. And I think we've only ever had one before. We are joined by some of the QI elves, James, Anna and Alex. Hello.
Hi. Hi, how are you doing?
Oh, very good. It's lovely to see you all. Are you in QI Towers right now?
Yeah, HQ. Yeah.
We are. I know behind Alex there's a huge bookshelf and it looks like it could be one of those fake backgrounds that they all invented at the start of Zoom, but that is real.
They're all books.
Are they all books that have come out of QI though, or are some of them other books?
No, they're all QI.
We haven't written them.
We haven't really written any of them. we did not write the 1911 version of the Encyclopedia Britannica.
Our Chortle Awards, you might be able to see those over Alex's shoulder as well.
I've got so many of those, I can't find a shelf to put them on. Well, lovely to have you all. We are talking about your book, 222 QI Answers to Your Quite Ingenious Questions, formerly published as Funny You Should Ask 2. Is that right? Again.
Yes, that's right. Again. Yes,
so,
that's
right. So you're doing a very clever thing straight away, which is making everyone's grandma buy them the same book twice.
Well, it's not quite the same book. It does have more. It has more in it, we should say. More questions and more answers.
Even cleverer. So the completists have to have every... Well done. I know. I've released emergency questions books with the same questions in. So, you know, that's it's a fantastic technique. Does this book come out? I mean, obviously, you spent the last however many millions of years coming up with facts and interesting stuff. But this book comes out of the Zoe Ball breakfast show, right?
Yeah, that's right. So how long have we been doing that? Probably 3 years now.
And yeah, 3 or 4 years.
Radio 2, every Wednesday morning, the curious weirdos who have questions bopping around their heads that they need to know the answers to, they get in touch with Zoe Ball and she gets in touch with us and tells us to answer them. And this is a sort of compilation of their weird and wonderful questions.
Yeah, right. Also children as well as curious weirdos.
Children can still be curious.
That's a pretty big Venn diagram intersection, I think.
Hey, curious weirdos are our favourite kind of people.
That's fair.
Without them, we'd have nothing.
Right, so that's the selection process. It is actual questions that you have been asked on the show.
These are the best of the best. The best questions and the best answers. Yeah.
It's not all. It's some that we sort of battered around ourselves. Yeah. I think about a quarter of them, or maybe a bit less than that, are ones that we came up with, and then some that listeners asked.
Yeah, that's right. Terrific.
Yeah, it's a lovely idea. It's a great idea. I think I love books like this. I've come up with one of my own, which is slightly similar, which is to answer impossible questions that children have asked, so that actually don't have an answer. Which you do get into a little bit. There's a question about the tooth fairy, for example. How much does the tooth fairy spend every year? There's a few things like that, but these are questions that do have answers.
They are for most of them do have answers, yeah. But like with the tooth fairy, I think we looked at some studies about how much people are given around the world, but really it was kind of an excuse to just write about the tooth fairy around the world and how, you know, in France it's a mouse, and in Nigeria I think it is they take their tooth and they put some excrement in their hand and throw it away and then run away, and this is supposed to be good luck and things like that.
So, what a lovely bedtime tradition.
And it's quite shocking how much the tooth fairy is giving some children. My children don't get as much as the average children, certainly in America, get, I wouldn't say. So.
Do they not? They should be starting a union and trying to get a bit more out of you.
Well, I don't. Why does the tooth fairy give some kids different amounts than others? That's the question I want to know.
Yeah, it's... get in touch with Mick Lynch, guys. Sort it out.
Yeah, you need to factor inflation in as well, I think.
But I think that's the delight of this book, is that the offshoot, and often just the little facts you throw in, pretty much straight away. I think on the first page, I love just the little facts. There's one about ladybirds that I liked straight away. Let me see if I can find it. The Welsh for ladybird translates as short red cow. That's a fantastic opening fact.
It's a better name than the English, because ladybird, they're neither ladylike or birds.
No. But I think that's what we mostly love doing, is being asked a question and then going off on 100 different tangents. And so, we sort of try to slip in as many weirdo facts. Why do I keep using the phrase weirdo? facts as we can. I remember, I don't even think this is in the book. It's just because we use the word ingenious in the title. I mean, this is going to sound very dry unless you're an etymology nerd, but genius and ingenious come from completely different origins, which I never knew, and I find that incredible.
Is that right? Yeah. I think the genius wasn't that it was some kind of spirit that you would get inside a person.
Oh, like a genie.
But I think it was only men who had genius, and I think women had another thing that wasn't genius.
Oh, no, idiocy, yeah.
Hysteria, I think it's called.
I admit it. That's exactly right, yeah. There was a spirit, which is where we get genie, and that was sort of bestowed genius on you, whereas ingenious comes from a completely different Latin root, which gives us the word engine, for instance. Anyway, so there we go. You see the first word of the title, and immediately we're just...
If you want to talk about something in the book, I think in this book is the thing about how inflammable and flammable have the same meaning. But actually, we found that it's a very, very slightly different meaning. One of them means to set fire to something, and the other one means to be on fire.
Ah, I think. Inflame and flame. I suppose, because if you flame, you're flaming yourself, aren't you? But if you inflame something, you inflame something else. Is that it?
But if you're flaming, that's just like being super gay.
Flaming, yeah.
But there is a lot of that, I suppose, isn't there? And a lot of these facts, when you're looking at the derivation of phrases and things like that, I mean, sideburns is an interesting one, that just things get swapped around. So that's based on someone called Burnside. And then just at some point, because they are on the side, I guess people just started calling them sideburns instead of burnsides. It's endlessly fascinating how language evolves and changes, and the different roots everything comes from. There's a lot in that, isn't there?
Definitely is. I know, like, for instance, when we do QI at the TV show and we send scripts to Sandy, Sandy always goes through and does her pass and kind of adds her own facts. And etymology is the one thing that she loves, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like she'll just go through all the words and go, oh, this is an interesting etymology. So is this.
Yeah. And what's nice about one like Sideburns, which is from a real person, definitely called Burnside, we've got the evidence, is that you can pin it down, can't you? Which is so hard to do with a lot of some of the ones in this book. Or if you've got like Happy as Larry, where did that come from? So often we just never know. They're lost in the mists of time. So it's nice when you get that concrete Mr. Sideburn, Mr. Burnside.
And it's really weird when somebody invented something and they've actually got the name of the thing they invented.
Yeah.
Like, that's so satisfying, but never usually true. Although there was a guy who invented the tram, was a guy called George Train. Is that right?
I think he ran. Yeah. Which
is really unsatisfying, I think. Yeah.
Well, I say everything's. My daughter, whenever my daughter says who invented this, I just say Ian, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Has that ever been right? I think Ian
Greggs started up Greggs. So I think Ian Greggs is the CEO of Greggs.
Yeah. Oh, I found the other day that apparently the Broccoli family, you know, Barbara Broccoli, the Bond producers, they had something to do with actual broccoli.
They invented broccoli.
I think maybe they brought it to to shops or something. Yeah, but they're like actually connected to real broccoli.
No.
I was looking into it because I was trying to find out what tender stem broccoli is, and tender stem. Turns out is also like a brand name. It's like a copyrighted or like patented type of broccoli.
Wow.
So yeah,
Anna and I have a big argument, don't we, about who invented, is it the blanket?
Mr. Blanket in the 11th century or something. Yeah, it's ongoing. It'll never be proven either way.
But yeah, there was definitely a guy called Mr. Blanket who was selling blankets in around the Bristol area in the 11th century.
And yet James is skeptical.
but as I think you say in this book, that surnames only came up because people started being called by whatever they were doing. So that could actually be the other way around. It could be Ian. I'm called Ian, but I sell blankets, so now I'm called Ian Blanket. That's the
blanket man. All right,
you've made your allegiance clear.
So what's the? I mean, obviously for both the radio show and the book, what level of proof and research do you have to go to make sure it's definitely right? You're obviously cross-checking against several different things, right?
Yeah, well, that's for sure. we have the QI standard of we really try and make everything as correct as possible. We sometimes make mistakes like everyone does, but hopefully fewer than most people do. But for the book especially, once it's come to this stage, it's gone through so many different levels.
Yeah.
So we've got... If the QI elves, there's more than a dozen of us, and everyone contributed to this book and wrote first drafts, but then it would go through a second draft and a third draft, and each one of those people is trying to prove it wrong. And so we hope that after that kind of sieve of elves, that everything is more or less right in there. But, people do make mistakes.
It's pretty terrible for office morale as well. Like, most of our business is trying to prove that everyone else is doing a bad job.
It really is. Yeah.
But they're very succinct, all of these. And some of the questions are pretty full-on and difficult and philosophical. Where is last Wednesday is a pretty philosophical question that someone could write a whole book about, which you get down to a page or so. So it is...
That's John Lloyd, creator of QI, is the one who takes main responsibility for the more philosophical ones, I think. Yeah.
Richard, you've probably interviewed John over the years,
I have,
right?
Yeah.
You probably know him. I reckon you could go through this book, and if I told you there were three or four entries that John Lloyd originally wrote, you would be able to pick them out immediately.
Yes,
and that's one of them.
That's probably true. Yeah, he asked me about the chemical composition of the carrot on Rallis, which briefly became an emergency question, but there weren't many funny answers to it, and the actual answers is quite boring.
Ouch. Let's hope he's not listening.
We have three chapters of that in this book.
You're right, though. Some of the questions were massive, actually. Sometimes you'll get asked a question and you think, good, I'll spin that off in an hour. I remember the one on this one that I probably could write a novel on is, if Rome wasn't built in a day, how long did it take?
Yeah.
You realise, well, when did it start being built? When did it finish being built? What do we count as a building?
It encompasses all of Roman history, really.
Yeah. So I wrote the history of Rome and then siphoned it down to a page.
And that's a very difficult one as well, because the beginnings of Rome are obviously largely in myth anyway, so you can find the earliest
exactly
But of course, and it's a philosophical one as well, because does a city ever, until a city is left and desolate, it's still being built, right? So it's still,
yeah, it's very hard to
Rome
define.
Rome is still being built to this day.
Never finished.
One of the ones I wrote was, what's the most expensive object in the world, or what's the most valuable thing in the world? And that was one that has, actually, it has so many different answers, because it depends what you think. If you go by substance, you could pick like antimatter. And then if you go by object, you could pick what counts as a single object. There's a huge multi-billion pound super yacht that's being built somewhere. But on the other hand, the most valuable object by weight is the 1 cent magenta stamp, which is the world's rarest stamp.
Yeah,
there's one of it left in the world.
Worth about $9 million.
I think it's from New Guinea. Exactly. It's not worth a huge amount in itself, but it's so small and light that by weight it makes it by far and away the most valuable material on Earth. I think it's the only subject, because I've found recently it's the only stamp missing, the only major stamp missing from the royal stamp collection.
Really?
Yeah, which
really?
Must be so annoying for the royal family.
Imagine someone's got it and they just send a birthday card one day, and that recipient will never know.
If I were them though, I think that's a good reason to like start a crusade or something. If you're the royal family and you haven't done one for ages,
but also
I would go
royal
and get
stamp
it.
Stamp collection.
Yeah, the Royal Philatelic collection. Yeah, it's a huge, like, it's like it's the best. I think it's the biggest collection in Europe or something, or maybe the world.
Yeah, but they get most of them sent to them for free because their faces are on it. So you know, it's not really.
They get the first draft. Also, they probably just mock them up themselves, just print out a small picture.
Yes, just take a photo for the idea. Yeah, I mean, also that stamp must be possibly the thing that's gained most value, you know, from its original price to what it's worth now. There can't be
one cent,
to whatever billions of pounds is. There can't be much that's gained that much in cost since it began. But there's loads of things I liked about it. Some things I think I guess I knew. But then other, the thing I never, it's remembering these things. And this is why this book's great to have on hand, because it is sort of succinct. Let me see, what was that? I quite like the fact that water isn't wet. I thought that's, you know, that was just in passing.
It is. There's also that it's not, you can get extra wet water.
Yeah.
That firemen use. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the idea is that something is wet if it has water on it, but water can't have water on it because then it just becomes part of the water that it's on. And so it's a bit of a technical one, but it's, you know, I think we ran it on QI just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it was one of those where we read that for the first time. One of the researchers came up with it and we just thought, this is going to, Alan is going to hate this.
Yeah. It makes you angry when you hear it. And that's what we're here for, to make people angry.
I'm more angry that I'm not getting the wettest water that's available.
Yeah, was the wettest water for firemen?
It reduces the surface tension. They add a chemical that reduces the surface tension, so it flows faster, and you can get more out the hose.
Yeah,
What
would you do if you had some wetter water? What would you use?
Drink it faster, I guess.
Is that what you're always thinking whenever you have a drink? You think, I wish I could drink this.
Not nearly viscous enough. Yeah.
It goes through you a bit quicker.
You know when you're emptying a bottle out. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But when you empty a bottle into the sink, it always takes ages and you're always shaking around and it's just really annoying. And
I mean it doesn't take that. It doesn't take that much of my time up. It's not so much.
I guess I'm busier.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah. Baths take ages to fill. You could fill a bath really fast.
I thought the other day I went to an Airbnb. And the water pressure was really good. And I thought I should put that in the review because it's such an important thing to have good water pressure.
Is this fact that James is now completely middle-aged? that was like the highlight of your holiday.
It really was.
Mold on the ceiling. 5 stars, water pressure.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact. You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
One of the things that I had an extra question for, but this is very difficult to answer. I mean, impossible to answer, really. There's an entry about if you clone yourself, you wouldn't have the same fingerprints as the clone would have different fingerprints.
Yes. Oh, that's so interesting, that one.
Yeah, that's interesting. My question, we can talk about that as well, but my question on top of that is, in the infinite, you know, because a clone of you does not have the same personality as you necessarily, right? So it's not the same soul inside it. But everyone talks about this infinite universe. If there's an infinite number of universes, you are doing everything that's possible to do. But surely there's an infinite number of possible things. You know, you might have the same makeup in DNA terms, but you might not have the same soul. And is that quantifiable? And that's what I want the physicists to answer.
Wait, what's your question?
My question is that I think even if there's another version of you somewhere in another universe that's the prime minister or whatever, that they won't have the same insight, whatever's inside you, they won't have the same personality and soul. Let's call it soul, which I don't think it is.
But yeah.
There'll be a different person inside. So it's not you any more than your twin brother is you. No.
So it would look a bit like you.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't like turn up and you both be thinking the same things because you've had different experiences and what you think is down to your experiences more than your DNA.
Yeah.
And also, I don't think twins, if you gave them exactly the same experiences, would then be thinking in tandem, you know, they would still have different personalities. So it's more.
Although.
Yeah, go on.
Sorry. No, no.
You're the experts.
I was gonna suggest a possible counter argument that in the world where there are infinite universes, then of course there is an identical version of you who's had all the exact same experiences and is the same person. And I think a lot of physicists would say that is the same thing. And that's, we do a thing where there's an app called Universe Splitter, which if you can't make a decision about something, if you're arguing with your spouse or something, you just split the universe. And what that does is, and it goes to scientists at CERN, every time you do it, it bounces off a computer system at CERN and it splits the universe in that moment. And it takes a version of you in one universe and a version in the other. And if you're deciding between whether to have tea or coffee, it gives one coffee and one tea. And the way I do this with my husband, and he always uses it.
Do you argue a lot about whether to have tea or coffee?
Constantly.
Sorry, what a waste of CERN resources. I can't believe this exists.
But the justification is to make you feel better. If you lose in this universe, the you in the other universe has won.
Actually, according to the multiverse theory, I think when you make that decision, that's when the two universes are created.
Ah.
So it's not like there's a you in the other universe. And you in this universe.
That's
suddenly
right,
this universe becomes two and then one's a tea, one's a coffee.
I don't buy the... I think there can be infinite number of universes where an infinite number of stuff happens and it isn't. It doesn't cover everything. The minute one thing, there are things that can't possibly happen. Like, I'm not going to get a phone call in any universe that's up to this point exactly the same, where someone says, "Rich, you've got to come and play football for England right now. We need you." That's not going to happen. So there's not going to happen. There's no situation where, you know, this. And so if it means one thing can't happen, there's plenty of things you can say. Well, that will never actually happen. People won't make that decision. I was thinking about.
I agree.
I was thinking about Richard Osman marrying one of his contestants on House of Games, and I thought, you know, in another universe, maybe he would have chosen me and all the House of Games, and we would have just got married. But everything would, and we'd both have had to like completely change our attitude to each other, suddenly discover our sexuality had changed, and
do you
decide
think perhaps
get divorced. Rich,
do you think your performance on House of Games was not quite good enough?
I think it intimidated him. It was too. But now I've started thinking about the universe where I wake up in bed every morning with Richard Osman, and I actually do quite like the idea. So maybe that's not a good example. Maybe that one has happened.
I don't know if he's going to be coming back on your show after hearing this. I think that might make him a little bit uncomfortable, but good luck with it.
I'm jealous that, you know, I thought I was a good contestant, but apparently not good enough for Richard Osman.
You always get a Richard Osman themed prize, don't you, on that show?
Yeah. Well, Ingrid very much did.
A night of passion with.
a lifetime. The rest of your life with Richard Osman. Good. Let's move on. I tried to write a sitcom about alternate universes, so I think about it a lot, but it does my head in. There's more prosaic and interesting, you know, and down-to-earth things. There's a lot of things about, like, how to wash a raspberry, for example. I was very impressed with that answer. I didn't know. I've been washing raspberries wrongly. Do anyone remember?
Oh, yeah. Any any guesses to who might have written that one?
Is that
John Lloyd? That's a John
Lloyd. That split the office because half of us were like, oh, great, that's a really useful thing to know and interesting. The other half were like, I've never washed a raspberry. I've never considered that I'm doing it wrong. I was in that camp. But
I wash raspberries and I wash them wrong.
Oh, okay. Do you think this might have changed your life, this book, then?
It might. I think it could. I actually had a fireman on quite recently, Lee Hosey Pickett, and his book's about does offer you ways to save your life in the event of a fire. But I think that raspberry advice is more useful because, you know, I'm definitely going to have another raspberry and I'm probably not going to be in a fire. So I think this book has changed my life more. I'd like to see the universe where I didn't read the raspberry entry.
And that's another good use for...
you die of some sort of raspberry poison.
maybe wetter water would be a good you know, thing to wash raspberries with as well.
You're right. Mm-hmm. Get it all together. Oh, go on, sorry.
I've just to say, I've always wanted to do a QI book of weird life hacks like that, because there are various little things that come up over the years where you change your behavior. I think the best one for me was when Dan Schreiber, one of our other colleagues, found out for our podcast that we've been tying our shoelaces wrong, and a study was done to show if you tied your shoelaces the opposite way, they won't untie themselves. And ever since, I've tied my shoelace the opposite way. Now, I've never been as good at it, so I look like a five-year-old when I tie them up, but they don't come undone all day. Wow. And it's little life hacks like that can change your world.
There's a thing on the next series of QI, isn't there, where it's how to eat a beef, how to eat a burger.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember because it's a picture of me in the image, which I think I'm wearing this shirt as well.
There's anyway, two ways, aren't there?
Yeah, you turn your burger upside down because the top is usually thicker than the bottom, so the juices won't like disintegrate the bread. And then when you hold it, you use your little pinky fingers on the bottom of the burger, and that's so that when you bite it, the stuff doesn't shoot out of the other end.
You will get kicked out of McDonald's if anyone sees you doing that. So odd.
It's the advice basically just to eat everything upside down, because that's the banana advice as well. That Ben Moore told me that.
Fact, yes.
That if you eat a banana upside down, that's the better way to eat it.
Do you mean you're upside down or the banana's upside down?
Yeah, that's a good question. I guess either. I guess as long as one of you stays the same way up as you usually are, then the other one turning around is.
There's a question in this book, isn't there, about whether you can eat upside down?
Yeah,
and we say you probably shouldn't do it because you might choke, but actually it will be fine.
Yeah, which I thought we shouldn't have said. Health and safety gone mad, I reckon. The point is, you are safe to eat upside down. So I don't think you will choke because, you've got lots of drawstrings going down your digestive system or sphincters, which, you know, stop the food falling back out. So hang upside down, eat your bananas all you want.
Yeah, so this book really could change your life if you take that advice and choke to death on your next meal. So that's good. Good to see. Okay, I thought there was something else coming there, but I was wrong. Look, we were talking about this. It's difficult interviewing three people on a very dodgy line that keeps on breaking up. We discussed this before we started recording, but I wanted to ask how many, as you said, everyone asked you, how many people have written this book, how many are in the team of elves? I can count 15 and a dog, but I've heard 16.
That's definitely how many there are in the photo. There's more than that. So there's at least like a dozen who come in the office and are based around here. But then we've also got a set of international stringer elves, as John calls them. So from very around the world and working remotely. And because it's the kind of thing you can do remotely, you know, it's a lot of sitting and reading and delving into a really deep subject. Yeah. And
although of the ones of us who come in and chat to Zoe Ball and glean these questions, I think 16 sounds about right,
yeah,
isn't it?
So. Yeah.
We usually like do that. It in a pair. I mean, you've done the count, so this is a test question, isn't it, to make sure we haven't forgotten some poor employee.
Well, I've counted on the picture, but that's a lot of people to write one. But, you know, it's quite difficult to make money out of books. And I know these books are presumably selling pretty well. But if there's 16 people and, you know, everyone else, Zoe Ball must be taking a big cut for her introduction. Millions.
It is one of like several things we're doing in a week. We don't like just write the book for like several months, because we've obviously got the TV show, the podcasts, and like all the other stuff. So it's you know, that's like one thing on your to-do list for the week is to write your questions for the book.
And, they all cross-fertilize, obviously, the more facts you know, the more you can go, all right. Are you ever worried about, I mean, you've written you as the QI elves and QI series over the many years it's been on. There's been a lot of books, so there must be some repetition of facts in there. Just, but or do you have a database? I know you do on the No Such Thing as a Fish.
We have a database.
We've got a database.
Yeah, we actually had a tool for a while that we developed that was like a fact comparison tool. Because when we were writing the fact books, which were just these lists of facts of kind of written in kind of little like poetic ways, when we got to like writing the fifth book, it was really hard to like check whether we'd used them in any of the previous four books. So we got our IT guy to build a little tool that compares every fact with every other fact and point out ones that are worded really similarly.
But we have all of the scripts of QI, don't we?
Everything's in
the books and all that kind of stuff. So we try our level best not to repeat ourselves too much.
Sure.
Except in person, where I'm doing it on a daily basis.
Yeah, I know about three facts and I roll them out all the time.
I hope so. But some of the ones that are just throwaway feel like there's an entry about the practicality of Cinderella slippers, which I think is just a sentence. That they weren't practical and they broke when they tried to make them. But that seems like an interesting question that could have been a whole entry rather than a throwaway.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes you've got to condense them. But that's one of those where I really like it when you have a question and you do find out a scientist has done what seems like a quite pointless experiment, because they did actually subject the slippers to that, didn't they? And yeah, like the one where I think we asked, do fish get seasick? And it turns out there's a German scientists who brought fish up in an aeroplane and then nosedived the aeroplane deliberately to see what happened to them, and then looked at them and said, yeah, they look like they're having a bad time. They look pretty nauseous to me. I reckon they do therefore get travel sick. And it's just like, what are these scientists doing? I mean, answering our questions, apparently, but...
My favourite experiment from the book was the team that wanted to work out how ants measure distance, because they take the same journeys over and over again, obviously, when they find food, and they go up and down the nest and they leave pheromones and do all these sorts of things. The hypothesis was that they count their steps, basically, so they know that the food they're getting is 245 steps away. And to test this, they glued stilts to ants' feet so that their step would be longer. And it worked. The ant just massively overshot its destination because it counted the steps, which is so mean. And I think that it was even, I don't think we put it in the book, but there was an even more horrible side to the experiment where they cut the legs shorter.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, and so I'm just double check. Yeah, no, it's not nice. Oh, sorry.
I mean, I did like the idea of the ant stilts, whose job it was to make
ants. Stilts is whimsical and fun. Yeah, no.
Let's see how they do with no legs and no brain. Let's stamp on them. See how do they survive?
They get really lazy. They don't go at all.
Let's burn. I used to burn ants as a child. So and deliberately set them on fire. I'd get them onto newspaper and then set the newspaper on fire.
Wow.
So, and not even in the name of science.
No, just in the name of being a horrible little cunt.
Wow. Yeah, you're a Roald Dahl creation. That is terrible.
It was fun. It was fun to watch them die.
You've halved your listenership.
How many books have QI put out? Do you know that? The answer to that question? There must be, because it's been rolling along for decades.
I've been involved in, I think, 13. So if I've maybe 13 or 14, and there were a couple before I was.
Yeah,
involved.
I think pretty much like 20, over 20 now, I reckon.
Pushing 20.
Yeah.
There was also, there's been so many different kinds of books coming out. So that's sort of fascinating. It's this industry off of all the work you do. And, you know, and as you say, it's in so many varied forms now as well. But it is interesting that what starts as a TV show, I suppose, or a radio show could go on to spawn this kind of cottage industry of its own. I mean, it's cottage industry.
It began as a book before a TV show. It was supposed to be a book. Yeah. Right. So John's big idea was that we would make like the interesting encyclopedia. Yeah. So we would have an encyclopedia of things beginning with A, but they would only be the interesting bits. And then I think sort of he went to pitch it as a TV show, not thinking that it would fly originally, hoping but not thinking. But then they asked for the TV show.
Yeah.
And then I think John really would love to still write that encyclopedia of interesting things.
Yeah. Yeah.
We did think about one year doing the Book of Q, didn't we? Just like an encyclopedia of just things beginning with Q, but it never quite happened.
Yeah. And of course that works because it's good to start in the middle. Like whenever people do encyclopedias and dictionaries, they want to start in the middle of the alphabet because you're a bit ropey at first and, you know, you're mystifying aardvark, then you look like an idiot. But if you mystifying, you know, snow, no one's going to notice.
Cause yeah. Because when you buy a dictionary, you always read from the beginning to see how good it is.
Well, that's an interesting question about this book, because it sort of is, again, it's a sort of toilet book, really, isn't it? It's not a book. I mean, I sat down and read it from cover to cover, but it's one that you really...
That was a long toilet break.
It was. I love the toilet. What can I say? But it's something that you kind of want to dip into and have somewhere rather than... and there's an index so you can choose your questions and all that sort of stuff at the beginning. Do you think people are, is that how you imagine people using the book? Or do you think about how it's read and how people will use it?
I think toilet book is right. In fact, I've just realised we should definitely do the thing which they used to do in the 19th century it was like a gardening book or something. Anyway, where you put a hole in the corner of the book so people can reuse it as loo roll afterwards. I think some of the best books you read are on the loo. I would say, I've just had an idea though, for what else you can use it for. If you're going on a date, and you have no idea, it's a first date, no idea what to talk about, I feel like this is a good one to just have on the tube on the way there. Emergency conversation starters.
Emergency questions, great idea.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's certainly better than on this promotional podcast for our book suggesting people use it as toilet paper.
What's that? Emergency questions.
That's my original. That's exactly it. But no, I think this, I can never retain jokes either, but I never really retain facts, and you obviously will have the brains where you can retain them. So I think that's a good thing, because I don't know if going on a date and going, do you know you're probably washing raspberries incorrectly?
It didn't work.
One thing about the order, actually, is that Sarah Lloyd, who is John Lloyd's wife, who is like one of the bosses of QI, it was her decision of the order that everything would go in this book. So we wrote all of the questions, and she was the one who went, well, this would go nicely after this, and this would go nicely after that. So I think, you know, there's been a lot of love gone into the order of the book. So people should read it from cover to cover.
Yeah, it's definitely designed. You can look up a question and look up the index, so you can use it as a reference book. But she did, like Sarah did, print out the entire book and lie it on the floor and go completely insane trying to find a flow of all of this completely random information. And she did it. So it's amazing.
Yeah. Don't render her work pointless.
So read it. You have to read it from cover to cover.
And it ends on the question that sort of came a little bit out of your idea of an encyclopedia of interesting things, is how do you define if something is interesting, because what's interesting to me is not necessarily interesting to someone else. So it is, that's quite, again, quite a philosophical question to more or less end the book on. But
that comes out of, I think, when you start QI research, which is the core thing you do, is that like when you come to the company, you spend at least some of your week doing pure research, sitting down, reading, visiting museums, something, trying to find that material for QI. You get an induction from John, who sort of sits down and talks to you about the philosophy of the company and the ethos and how it works and how you do research. And I don't think anyone's ever had the same conversation twice. I think if you compare them at all, it's a really, really interesting experience. But I think that's the like super condensed conclusion.
Yeah.
So it's just really nice to end the book
on. Basically, everything's interesting if you look at it the right way.
Yeah.
That's yeah.
The
yeah.
idea of QI.
But with some yeah. facts thrown in, like I'd find it extraordinary that, and I think this might be the final fact of the book, that Latin the Romans didn't have a word for interesting. What yeah. does that mean? They didn't have a concept of interesting. They weren't interested in anything. They were pretty interesting themselves. What's going on there?
That is, yeah. That, you know, well, I suppose it's anything that would. They are good conversation starters when you have something like that. And I suppose it's when you spend your whole life looking at facts, if things are still surprising you after all this time, that's quite amazing as well, isn't it? That you can be surprised by something, Anna, or that is that what were the most surprising things for the rest of you?
Yeah. Well, that's the
good question.
Yeah, it's
question.
Like we should have thought about that, shouldn't we, before yeah. we came on? Like,
yeah, yeah.
To buy time, I will say that, I mean, it's a cliche, but every single day is a surprise at QI. It's the opposite of a marriage. Every single day, you learn something exciting and new about what you're doing.
Yeah.
Also, we don't require the total computing power of CERN to keep it alive. So.
Yeah. The interesting thing that I found recently, which is not in the book, and then we'll come to the book, is that you know these like meat-free burgers that are really kind of they're just like meat.
Yeah.
There's a load of companies that make them, yeah, but quite a few of the companies their burgers are tested on animals. So oh, yeah. even though they're vegan, they're tested on animals, and the reason is because a lot of them are made with GM crops, and you need to test them before you can feed them to humans. Right. And so if you go on some of their websites, they're like, you know. The rats, they were really looked after. We used the minimum that we could use. We're really sorry. There's nothing else we could have done, but they had to be tested on animals.
And yeah, the rats loved the burgers. They
yeah.
had a great time.
I mean, that's the thing. Like it's really animal testing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's like a nice night out for the animals.
It is. I mean, it's kind of good. It's as far as animal testing is concerned, it's probably the best. It's not setting fire to ants.
No.
Put it that way. But it also, is, I mean, it's not vegan. Technically, it's not vegan.
No, it's not vegan. But if they told you how many of the animals died after eating or what terrible things happened to them, that'd be a more interesting website, wouldn't it? But early on, we lost a few rats and gerbils.
The original arsenic burger we decided not to put on the market after some accidents.
So from the book, I remember this because we did the audio book of this the other day, just the new questions. And it was, what happens if you cross a one-humped camel with a two-humped camel? Which
oh, yes.
I thought was such a brilliant question. Yeah. Because everyone wants a three-humped camel, don't you?
I can't basically. Remember the answer to that. What
well, the answer is you get either a camel with one massive hump, or you get one with a very small hump, or sometimes you get one big hump with two little humps on top of it.
It's like a cock and balls. Yeah.
For some people, Anna, for some people.
For some people.
I did really like, we talked about everyone having unique fingerprints, even if you're a clone, but we didn't yes, say yeah. why. And I did really love the fact that your fingerprints are partly determined by your genetics. So they will be similar if you had a clone of yourself and you were sitting next to them and you were comparing fingerprints, but they would be a bit different because your fingerprints are partially formed by your fingers pressing up against the inside of the womb when you're
yeah.
inside and yeah. like you literally
when you're more doughy
yeah creases all your fingers together, and then because your the outer and inner layers of your skin grow at different rates, it's they sort of crinkle up, and it's just amazing.
Yeah,
I just
yeah.
think that's so nice. And yeah,
that is a good one. So how did the audiobook work? Was that, did you all come in and do a bit of the audiobook, or was it a select group of you?
It was myself and Anne Miller, who's not here today. We read the answers to the questions, but then all of the elves came in and read the actual questions themselves.
Okay.
And then all the little fun facts that you mentioned, they were all read by John Lloyd.
Okay, terrific. Okay, well that would be an interesting way to take it all in as well. I prefer the audio book of most things. I think maybe this is a good one to have as a book. You can listen to an audio book on the toilet though, right? And just probably choose a random chapter.
I don't see why not.
Yeah. Do both. Read along.
If you have an audio, I was going to say, if you have an audio book, you can go to the toilet wherever you like, but that's also true of a book.
But if you're in like a public toilet and the person yeah. in the cubicle next to you is going, then probably they're listening to our audiobook.
Yeah.
That will probably be it. Well, look, it's a terrific book. It's out this week if you're listening to the podcast on the week of recording. Are there any other books you guys are reading that you'd, I mean, you must read a lot of books. Is there anything you'd like to recommend that's coming out soon or even from the past?
Wow. That's such a good question.
And I'm not just saying this because I know him and like him, and I know he can.
You're going to do the same one as me, aren't you?
Yeah, I must. So Dan Schreiber, who we work with, has released a book called The Theory of Everything Else. It's his baby. He's been working on it for more than a decade, talking about it, and it is absolutely mind-blowing.
It's so good.
I have to say, it's like, I mean, everything in there, I thought, why on earth haven't you told us this before? This is incredible. So get that one next.
I read a book about the history of bowls between 1900 and 1959. And even
the history
for people
of what?
Who like bowls, you know, like crown green bowling.
Oh, bowling, okay.
Yeah,
it's
mostly statistics.
It could have been
statistics.
Three or four different things. That I thought it was bulbs or bulls or balls.
You're but absolutely bowls. Right.
Or bulbs that you get of, I suppose.
Yeah, and even for people who like crown green bowling, it was unbelievable.
Did it bowl you over?
And I'm just saying that for balance against the Dan Schreiber thing.
Yeah. So maybe don't buy the bowls book. That's good to know if you're about to.
I'm reading. I'm halfway through Bill Bryson's Shakespeare book, and that's really good because it's mostly sort of everything we know about Shakespeare, and it's all we didn't know anything about him, and everything we think we know about him is really uncertain and based on tiny amounts of evidence, and it's just really interesting to find out how much we don't know about him, and you just learn so much about that era as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Fabulous. Well, look, thanks very much for joining me, guys. Very nice to talk to you all. Thank you very much for coming on, James, Anna and Alex, QI Elves, and buy their book, 221 QI Answers to Your Quite Ingenious Questions. And there's an intro by Zoe Ball. If you don't like ingenious questions and you like Zoe Ball, you can read a bit that Zoe Ball's written. and then use the rest as toilet paper.
You know, you just described it as 221 ingenious questions.
Did I?
I want to know which one you dropped.
He's ripped out the how to wash a raspberry.
Yeah. There was one that wasn't ingenious.
Used it for. Okay,
I'll try and find one that isn't ingenious. As the blow out the moon, that's a good one. Why are so few nuts actually nuts is not an ingenious question. Yeah. So there, it's 221. Sorry.
Bye.
Go back and rewrite it. Thank you, guys. See you soon.
Thanks,
thank
Richard.
You.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.